This is Glitterbeam.
Good evening, Glitterati. We're here in the studio with Eugenio. Say hi.
Hi, hi.
Hey, so we've got an amazing treat for you tonight, haven't we?
Well, do you want to call it a treat?
Of course it's a treat. I mean,
it's a treat, yes. I mean, I don't know if Bianca Del Rio will consider a treat, but the person that we got on the phone, but yes.
So, as a lot of you know, we've had so many members, you know, of the drag royal family here with us on Glitterbeam, but tonight we have a drag god. Yes, we have the divine Lady Bunny. Hi, how are you?
Hello, everyone. I don't know if I'm a treat, maybe more trick than treat, but I'm glad to be here. Hello to your listeners.
Oh, very cool. Very nice. We're so glad to have you here. And honestly, if we mess this up, you know, it's like you are a drag god. If we do mess this up, how do we repent? What do we do?
Well, you've already messed it up because I'm not a drag god. I'm a goddess.
Goddess! I was about to say. But
you know, you have to be very, very careful about pronouns and gender these days. Not with me, but not with
that's
me.
That's it. Right. I'm going straight to drag hell. That's it. I don't care
what you call me, as long as you call me.
Manny, we're going to talk.
Somebody call for a gig.
So we want to celebrate you. So we have a few questions about your career, and then we're going to go to the present, which sounds quite rap, if you want to say that. So let's start from the start. So you started your career on the Atlanta gate scene in the 80s, then you moved to New York City. So the first question is actually quite serious, which is weird for us. But how is the gay scene changed, if it's changed, and I suppose it is, from the 80s to now? You've been performing constantly, especially in New York City, but all across the world. So have you seen a difference in the last 30 years?
Well, yeah, clubs have shut. Clubs have shut because of the people feel connected on the internet and they use dating apps to hookups for sex. So there's also, there's been a 40-year decline in what our wages will actually buy. So people don't have the money to go out to clubs. People don't have the money to move to New York. They can't afford rent here. And we used to go out to, you know, 5, 6, 7 clubs a night. Now there aren't 5, 6, 7 to even go to. I mean, you know, I DJ at the Monster in New York City, which is one of the only, I don't DJ there now. They're not open except to sell drinks outside the window. And people take the drinks into the park, but yeah, it's like, I mean, the Monster, you know, it's kind of like a tacky, you know, piano bar with a club underneath, it was never the chic night spot to take your first date on to impress them, but yet that is one of the few actual gay clubs that's open, that was open before the pandemic, 7 nights a week. So we, young people, they don't seem to dance. I mean, I DJ as well, and I was booked at this large club called Crowbar about, I don't know, 8-10 years ago. And I mean, it's a place where Tiesto and, you know, all the big house DJs, techno DJs play. Yeah. And I told them when they called me, I said, you know, I'm not, I play like a mix of R&B and, you know, a disco and, you know, everything, pop or whatever. I don't think I'm the right DJ for like a, you know, a trance crowd or a tribal, you know, crowd. And they said, oh no, trust me, you're perfect. And I got there and they had put banquettes all over the dance floor. So, you know, this was the proof that people had stopped dancing. This used to be packed with people, you know, on drugs, drinking bottles of water, and they had changed it to like, you know, 20 banquettes spread out all over this giant dance floor, which is really for suckers. It's for bankers and people or sports players who are rich, who want to impress their, you know, hooker slash date by taking them out to a place where there is bottle service, you know, and they might like get, you know, they might get, and so what they want you to do is to play top 40, and then they'll get up from their banquette and their bottle service and they'll dance a little bit, but it's not like Frankie Knuckles, you know, or Danny Tenaglia taking you on a journey. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, really, you know, it had become for people to, I mean, listen, the bottle service thing is so stupid, and it partially killed, along with the dating apps and the internet, it partially killed New York nightlife, because you listen, only a sucker buys a $50 bottle of booze that would be $50 and spends $500 for it. I mean, if you can afford that, the chances are you can't dance. I'm sorry. That's true.
That's true. But you're also saying that if I manage to find me a sugar daddy, that would be the place to go.
Well, if you were a woman looking for a sugar daddy, I mean, it wasn't a gay place. So, I mean, you know, the big gay clubs have all closed. One was hanging on that would do like a monthly party, and that was the promoter, John Blair, who has done, you know, like the big, you know, when the Chelsea crowd and the muscle clones of the like 2000s were in, you know, but you know that now they still may do like what I call destination events, but they're like the White Party in Miami or Palm Springs, but there are no regular venues, large venues of shirtless, you know, gay men like we used to have at the Roxy. I mean, please. There were huge mega clubs and people don't go out. One reason is that under Republican and Democratic presidents, for the last 40 years, they have hurt working Americans with neoliberal policies. And we just don't have the money to go out like that anymore.
I'm sorry, what are you saying? You are about to make America great again. No?
Well,
did I get it wrong?
Sadly, you know, the reason that Trump is in office, you know, is that the Democrats ran a terrible candidate in 2016. And now they're running a terrible candidate again, who is senile. And, you know, I mean, the Democrats are literally like my friends who I work with and who I, you know, who I know and I trust their taste in music and art and whatever. They're actually forwarding an article that says that Trump got a report that Russia was making, you know, casting aspersions online about Joe's mental health, and that Trump ignored this. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Do you not have eyes and ears? Joe Biden can barely speak at times. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I do not vote based on these issues, but a lot of you know, when I live in New York, you know, I deal with gay people, drag queens, trans people, or whatever. So we're all in a liberal bubble of people who read the New York Times. We're not out in, you know, smaller cities where the factories have closed due to the policies of both parties. And so their whole way of life is decimated. Their grandfather, their father, and they work there. Now there's nothing but suicide and opioids. And I'm really glad I could cheer you up over there. All I'm saying is that whenever I speak to people from overseas, they're like, oh my God, did you just hear what Trump said? And I said, well, first of all, if you're focusing on the nonsense that Trump says, you're going to be very, very busy, because he spits out nonsense and the press jumps on it because they don't want to talk about both parties destroying the working class, getting rid of the union's power. I mean, we are a mess. Joe Biden, 87% of Democrats support Medicare for All, which is a slightly socialized, you know, state-run healthcare program. Joe Biden has said that he would veto it if it gets through Congress. How do you have the nerve to run for president in a global health pandemic and say that you would veto what 80% of Democratic voters want? Biden's only appeal is that he is not Trump. This was Hillary's only appeal, and she lost. I'm not making any predictions for the election, and I would rather have Biden than Trump. But that does not mean that the Democrats aren't making the same mistakes. And Biden had an 8 to 10 point lead for several months. That is now tightening.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I will suggest Oprah and Lady Bunny 2024. I'm just saying.
Lady Bunny.
As an idea.
Yes.
As an idea. Yes. You never know. It might happen.
Well, Oprah's very rich. I'm not sure that she wants to pay taxes, higher taxes that would pay for the programs that we need. So
true. I'm not sure. That's true. I didn't think about that. Yes, you're right. You're right.
She's very popular.
Oh yeah,
she is.
She's one. But
I bet you would be more popular.
Oh yeah,
I bet you would be more popular.
Well, at least
of course,
Bunny is more popular and funnier. You know, make America gay again. Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Hashtag it.
Make my pussy gay again.
Yes,
honey.
Yes. Let's do it.
It hasn't been gay since this COVID started, honey.
I know. I can imagine. We are all in the same situation, love. Don't worry.
I found it to be very difficult to socially distance from my refrigerator.
We're all there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, ooh, girl, the girdles are a little snug.
I know.
We got a lot of captans.
So how you would describe your typical day recently? Then, I mean, what does your typical day look like?
Well, you know, I work best under pressure. And so now there's no pressure. And so I don't work. No, I'm just kidding. I have little projects like this, DAP video that I put out just to make people laugh. And, and also to let them know what it is that I do, so that whenever we are back and, people may remember that video and say, oh, well, let me see what that crazy bitch is doing, now, and actually, get a ticket to come and see what I'm doing. So, I had a photo shoot on Friday. I have a photo shoot for a new T-shirt that I'm launching on Friday. And so I've been getting, into drag occasionally to do these projects, and, had several things that I did, online things that were for Pride and I was also in a fringe festival in Boulder, Colorado. So there are some, basically, if you're not performing online, you're not performing.
Yeah, that's been one of the things recently. I mean, a lot of people who we've been speaking to, they've all been doing things online, and, there's been so much going on. I mean, even ourselves, we've been involved in a couple of the online Pride events and things as well. So it's very cool that you're still getting out there and, you're still doing your bits and pieces and you're not letting this COVID nonsense hold you back.
But
I do miss people, though. And I mean, I it's I'm trying to think of it in this way. And I've tried to be encouraging to, you know, my drag sisters who, you know, are also frustrated by how different online performances are. Yes. So when you're if you're a Broadway actress, you're used to an audience that is clapping, laughing, you know, saying, ooh, you know, yeah. if you go too far or whatever. But obviously we can't have that now. Well, and I don't know when we're going to have it again. So I just, you know, and you're performing, you know, to a, you know, a little round hole of your cell phone or your laptop or of, you know, someone who is professionally shooting you. And so you just have to think of it in a glamorous way and say, well, I was on Broadway. Now I'm a Hollywood actress. And, but what you have to remember is that you have got to act like that fantastic audience is on the other side of that steel camera or device, because you've still got to give it. And sometimes you don't feel, you know, like giving it if there's no one to cheer you on, and they can't make noise in the studio when they're recording. So even if the camera guy or the assistant or whatever is laughing, they can't do it, you know, openly. So it's a very different game.
But still,
you've literally just described a genuine love life.
Yes, but I still have pleasure to look at a little black hole, which is the camera, of course. So comedian, DJ, actress, singer, songwriter. So clearly you are an all-around performer.
Don't forget unemployed prostitute.
Of course, unemployed prostitute. Sorry, unemployed prostitute, which is also... Well, let's hope that you're going to get employed soon on that matter.
Well, it's a family profession, so with me.
Got it.
That's good.
So apart from... now that you added this, the question really has a different... taste. What has been the most memorable experience in your career? Now, considering also that you are an unemployed prostitute, so that would be amazing. Now,
the most memorable moment of my career is this interview with Glitter Beam Radio.
You are
It's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Oh,
sure.
Honey, I don't know. I mean, I founded a drag festival called Wigstock,
yes.
And it ran for 20 years. It was the subject of a 1995 movie called Wigstock the Movie, and then another movie we resurrected it in 2017, and it became the subject of an HBO documentary called Wig, where we brought the festival back and included a lot of the, you know, classic New York Wigstock performers, got some new girls from New York City, and also included, you know, lots of Drag Race royalty from Bianca to Latrice to Willem to Sharon to Jinx to, I don't want to leave any out, but I wasn't sure if we could recreate the magic after 20 years of hiatus from the festival, but we did.
Well, actually, you anticipated my question. Is there a future to Wigstock? Because I would have asked.
I mean, there's not even a future to live performances. I have no idea. I mean, I did do a performance in New Jersey at a parking lot where people literally like pulled up in cars, and it was interesting. It was 99 degrees, and the zipper on my dress that was my summery cool dress broke right before I left my apartment. So I ended up wearing some dress made of thick neoprene, and I thought I was
lovely.
Going to actually combust.
So is this actually you performing, or were you, you know, just grabbing the shopping?
No, I was performing for an hour, but it was so hot that I had to literally like sit down during a couple of numbers because I was trying to work that big stage, you know, by myself, and it was not easy. So
of course she was performing. What do you think she was doing in a parking lot?
Could have been Walmart.
Oh,
Well, you know, America has such a huge mall culture that they have parking lots with different wings. So what they did is that the mall was closed and they shut down like a giant wing of the parking lot, and they did four shows a day. I did a solo show, but the Drag Race girls did a big review with male dancers and costume changes and video and, you know, medleys that they had specifically created for the show. And I mean, you know, every one of their shows sold out, and they took it to several different cities. They're younger than I am a little. And, and so I guess they felt safer flying, and I haven't heard any reports of them getting sick, but I would not fly right now.
No, okay. I'd certainly not be risking that.
Well, anyway, we got some questions, not just from us, eh, Mikey? There is someone else.
So we have a question from RPDR UK fans. Now, this is from the founder called Charlie.
Hi, Lady Bunny. This is Charlie from RPDR UK fans. And the question that our followers wanted to ask you is, would you ever consider taking part in a senior citizens special of Drag Race? Or would that be completely pointless because we all know Bianca Del Rio would win it? Lots of love, Bunny.
In a what kind of Drag Race?
In a senior citizen special.
A serious what?
A senior citizen special.
Well, look, I yeah, now...
Look, fuck off.
someone suggested yesterday that a senior citizen tour could be mounted with Bianca, Coco Peru, Jackie Beat, etc., etc. I would love that. But, you know, I'm not interested in competing. And I think it's sad that people see drag now as something, they see it through the prism of competing. Because, you know, I don't look at Jackie Beat and think, ooh, am I doing better than her? Or you know, I mean, listen, I mean, to me, the idea of lip syncing to the same song as another queen at the same time is absolutely moronic. So I have
why?
No interest. I mean, I don't lip sync. Neither does Jinx. Neither does Bianca. Neither does Sharon Needles. Usually, so I mean, Bob does stand up comedy. So actually, you know, the show is set up in a way that you only perform, apart from these often very silly challenges, you only perform if you lose. And for me, drag is all about, you know, performing. Yeah. I don't want to be on camera bitching at other drag queens who I'm in competition with. And I actually think that sends a bad message of the way drag queens are, because, you know, we're not at each other's throats, but that's what the public sees. They see the bitchiness and the cat fighting, but that's actually not what what the drag community is all about. I mean, I've been in it a long time, and trust me, of course there's competition, of course there's bitchiness and reading, but the drag community that I know is more likely to say, honey, I need a new dress. Does this seamstress get it to you on time? Because this is for a pageant. Or does this promoter pay you? Is he shady? We're more likely to compare notes and be supportive than we are to constantly engage in a backstabbing scenario where everything is seen through a prism of competition. So, you know, RuPaul is an old friend. Glad he has success with the show, but it would never be my cup of tea, especially since people are edited to misrepresent what they say and do.
So you do think you do, you know, do believe in a villain?
Why would you want to go on why would you want to be misrepresented?
You do believe in a villain edit, because this is the thing that is now on, basically, on Drag Race. You do think there is something like that there is an editing a little bit, you know, forced, pushed?
Well, I mean, Rue and the producers of the show admit that it's completely manipulated. And I mean, they admit that in interviews all the time. They say it's heavily produced. But if you're a queen, say you're Queen A on Drag Race, and they interview you, you know, in an interview segment that they constantly cut to, and you say, "Oh, I hate that bitch." Okay, so they can, and you're referring to Queen B. Mm-hmm. Well, they can, the producers can edit it so that you are, it makes it look like you are actually saying that not about Queen B, but about Queen C. And that is a misrepresentation. So I don't know if that's what they, you know, mean by the villain edit, but yeah, I'm not interested in being misrepresented. And I don't think that, you know, even though Drag Race has made drag huge, and, you know, I have benefited from it along with the queens from Drag Race, I don't think that misrepresenting is mentoring, and that's what the show purports to do. Mm-hmm. Well, misrepresenting is not mentoring.
Unless you are like Bianca Del Rio, and then you read to filth every single person, so whoever you read, it doesn't really matter.
But that's not misrepresenting.
No, absolutely. She's like this. She read me when I interviewed her. She read me on the spot. So yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we love it for that.
But Eugenio, you're too easy to read, though.
I know.
You literally give it away.
I know. So actually, Bunny, when you were a teenager, you lived in York, here in the UK.
Yes.
So what do you remember about that time, which was just a few years ago?
By the invention of the wheel.
The invention of the wheel. And well I mean, I was still very impressed by the invention of fire.
Michael was actually there too when flame was invented. So
yes, I'm also.
You have something to share with.
Well, I was at a Quaker boarding school, and it was my first time. My parents are Quakers. It was my first time away from home. And so it was a fascinating mix of me being so scared, you know, that I was, gonna get shit for being gay. Because, I mean, whether I called myself, I mean, I knew that I was gay at that point. I didn't share it with all of my classmates, but I mean, I didn't need to come out of the closet. I was never in it. So, right. You know, and here I was at a boys' school, but, you know, luckily they put me in a room with five people. One was the brilliant one who was the best at math and science. One was the brilliant one whose dad was the English teacher. One was the gorgeous one who was best at sports. And then the others were very popular. So they kind of, I mean, I'm not going to say that I was the mascot, but they looked out for me, and it gave me some clout that enabled me to get through it without being harassed. And so by the there was a tradition of doing drag in the senior year show, so the seniors had special privileges at this boarding school over the younger students. Now, I never used those privileges, but I guess some used and abused them. So I got all of the ones, the seniors who were in the show, who had been, you know, a little bit more unpopular because they use their privileges against younger students, to come out in drag in tutus at the show that we gave at the end of, you know, before our graduation. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, drag was encouraged in these shows, and the crowd went wild laughing at these, you know, seniors who they often disliked, you know, out in drag. And then, honey, that was just the intro. Then I came out and did a full lip sync, because I had them come out to Barbara Streisand, Donna Summer, Enough is Enough. So it's raining, it's pouring, my love life is boring me to tears. That was when they were all like in ballet tutus And then when the beat kicked in, honey, I came out and lip-synced the house down, honey, and gagged them all. The guy who was putting the show together and like kind of rehearsing everyone saw what my plan was. He said, don't change a thing. So I've been in drag since I was six.
Wow, wow, that sounds amazing. That does sound amazing, because like I come from not far away from York. So I come from a place called Sunderland in the northeast, which is about an hour away from York. So where? I know the
where?
So I come from Sunderland originally, which is about an hour away from York. Okay. And so I'm literally like, you know, to know that you were just a little bit further down and you were there and you're part of the history of the place. That's really cool. I enjoyed that. That's nice.
Well, it was, I mean, it was some, I mean, I got a great education there. I didn't do that well on my A levels, but I did get a great education. And of course, that was when disco was 78 to 80. Disco was turning into punk. And punk new wave. I mean, it was a huge, you know, musical time. And when you're young, you're into the popular music. So yeah, it was like it was a smorgasbord. Because England is small, the you know, the trends from London can spread through the rest of the country.
Oh, definitely.
Quickly. You know, and in the States where it's huge. I mean, especially back then before the internet. The if you wanted a big city experience, you had to actually go to a big city.
Wow. Okay.
You couldn't see the shows of big city performers, you know, Amanda Lepore or Kevin Aviance or whatever, unless you couldn't see that on YouTube.
Wow. Yeah. So you have to just, you know, jump in the horse and carriage and off you popped.
That's right.
So I've got another question.
And Bianca was pulling the carriage.
Of course, yeah, of course.
No, I'm kidding. It was Alaska.
Bianca, don't lie, you had both of them.
What Bianca was doing? I don't want to know what Bianca was doing. Actually, yes.
Yes, we've got another two questions actually for you. So this is from another one of our presenters. He's actually called RuPaul Ryder. He was named that by Michelle Visage. But he wants to ask, if you weren't an acquaintance on RuPaul, would you have entered Drag Race?
And I suppose the answer no.
The answer is clearly no. There you go, Paul. The answer is no.
If I weren't an acquaintance of Ru, would I do
Drag Race?
Yeah.
If you weren't an acquaintance of RuPaul, would you have entered Drag Race?
And I would say no, clearly not.
No, listen, I've always, I've never been interested in competition. I've never been interested in pageants before Drag Race started. I mean, to me, you know, I do my thing and I don't contrast it to other people's things. You know,
but Bunny, that was lovely when you were roasted. It was lovely to watch.
Yeah. Oh, no. I enjoy doing it, you know, definitely.
Because you were in your natural habitat there. There was comedy. There was Queen reading you. There was Queen, you know, that roasting you. It was fun.
Oh, no. But when I met with them, when I was in L.A. and the producers, you know, proposed the idea that I would be in a coffin, And I thought, this is so insane that I have to do it. Right. But that's not as an entrant on contestant.
No.
And that was like a fun bit that I could do.
Yeah.
That also, you know, made fun of my age and that, you know, I mean, look, Ru reads me on the show, you know, fairly often, and sometimes people are like, "Ooh, girl, she read you." You know, she said you're like Sunday school. You have no class, and I'm like, you know, are you stupid? This is like an international drag show, and she's, you know, reading me, and you can't read somebody who nobody knows. So, you know, it's like this is great publicity for me, and I read her in my act, in my videos, or whatever. I mean, please, it's like, you know, I don't. But competing on the show is a very different thing.
Of course.
The reading
is because also you are old friends, as you said. So there is also that confidence between you two. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what do you think's the biggest downfall and also the high point of the drag world since its recent surge within mainstream culture?
That's a very profound question.
It is.
Yes. There's much more emphasis now on looks, and there is much less emphasis on uniqueness and talent. So I see beautiful, beautiful queens with outrageous, you know, immaculately applied makeup and lace front wigs, but I would rather see someone, you know, who can really perform the shit out of a song on stage. So I'm putting on your makeup and doing a great wig and outfit or whatever, that's step number one. But if you have if all you can do is a look and your performance is not anything special, well then I will clap at how you look when you walk out onto the stage, but then I'm gonna get up and leave if you're a subpar performer. So I'm not saying that creating looks. I mean, look at some of the people like Violet Chachki or Kim Chi, who put outrageous looks together. That is a talent. And I'm not suggesting that they're not talented. They are. But it's with a lot of queens, I see no originality and just a copycat of what the show, of what they see on the show. Like every queen has to have a reveal. Every queen has to do a death drop. Every queen has to do a wig reveal. Every queen has to do a medley. It's just not special.
No, it's a repeated thing. Because like Eugenia loves the show. I watch it dragged along. Because when I was growing up, we had quite a number of drag performers in the Northeast, and they were so funny. They were so funny. And then when like I said, I completely agree with you. So when you see it on the TV now and things like that, and it is very, very different.
We've been actually discussing a similar thing to the fact that there is no much surprise effect anymore. It's a little bit seeing this, being there, on this. Maybe the UK queens are a little bit on a different level, because they're not necessarily based on looks. There is a lot of more performance in clubs.
Well, clearly not. They're hideous.
What is your favorite then of the UK one? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I love Bag of Chips. I mean, I now that she's become so successful, I think she should change her name to something that really reflects her newfound fame and call herself Bag of Cocaine.
Okay. So your favorite is Baga, whatever is the second name. Okay, it's Baga.
But let's talk about
Baga's a scream, and Baga's a performer.
Yes,
she is. But let's go to the present. Let's talk about you. So with your obviously. When Cardi B meets Lady Bunny, the result is D.A.P. So you and Flotilla DeBarge made your rap debut, which you've dedicated to Sugar Pie Coco and Lady Red Couture.
Who died recently. One was a New York performer, a drag performer, and Lady Red was the co-host of Hey Queen. Both are very much missed.
I saw the dedication at the end of the video as well. So obviously it's something that two of the people who obviously you are quite close to your heart, either personally or in your career. But how did this inspiration come about? I mean, tell us a little bit about how you guys got talking about it and said, oh hey, we're going to redo this song.
I mean, Bunny, why? Tell me why. Why you tell us why you grab WAP, which is already, in terms of video, is already a masterpiece of the modern contemporary art, visual art.
Well, let's guess, if you weren't here, you are after watching that.
I almost became straight watching WAP. I almost got straight.
I'm somehow doubting this, but
I found it disgusting. I watched it.
Look. For one thing, you can't do a parody of a song that no one knows. So the drag queens that do parodies like to do parodies of big hits, and you know, I've just turned 58. What better time to embark on a rap career? Because I know that the rap community will be welcoming of a 58-year-old white rapper.
With massive hair.
You just described Cardi B.
I think that, like, the Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion video is so raunchy, and she is a mainstream artist with millions of followers. So she releases this 1 week, and, you know, then there's like 121 million YouTube hits on the video. And then the following week, she is interviewing Joe Biden on a video for Elle magazine. So what I say to that is, do you know what? I am so sick of the censorship, and I am so sick of the PC culture and the cancel culture, that this is the second. If she can release filth like that to a mainstream audience of young people, well, then I am sick of people, you know, the PC woke crowd, you know, coming for, you know, everyone. Because listen, darling, this is the second pandemic I'm living through. And I don't expect, you know, there's a lot of people that clearly, as Cardi, you know, has reached so many with this video, that appreciate dirty stuff. So the only direction that we could take it was to make it more dirty and more insane. And there is an audience for that. I do not expect, I'm not Nina West reading Drag Queen Story Hour for kids. That's not my thing. I'm not RuPaul spouting platitudes like everybody say love and how you gonna let, that's not my thing. I like sick and twisted humor, and you know, clearly, I mean, the video's done well, so other people like it too. So I don't expect everyone to be in my audience, but what I hate about cancel culture is people who think that they have the right to shut down whatever they disagree with, or whatever they think is whatever, misogynistic, transphobic, too vulgar, you know, to whatever. If you don't like it, don't watch it. I'm not coming to perform it door to door to religious households, you know, with children. You know, it's like, you know, just don't watch it. I mean, I'm an atheist who doesn't like to see the president, whoever it is going to be, sworn in on a Bible, which I consider a book of ancient fairy tales. But you know what? You got to choose your battles.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but you also said you need, you know, in order to watch this particular video, grab some lotion and lube, and enjoy this end of summer celebration of wrongness and dry ass pussy. I would say is NSFW, but no one has a job nowadays. So please have a therapist on hand after viewing the video.
Well, however, we did use so many different kinds of lotions and lubes and Crisco lard for
really Crisco.
I'm certain that we are going to get a endorsement deal.
Well, after all that, you better, because you put so much work into it.
No, but you mentioned this is the second pandemic that you've been living through. Do you mean the Spanish flu in the 1918 or the plague in the 1317?
Oh, okay. Well, now that you put it that way, add AIDS, that makes four pandemics. So anyone that wants to criticize, you know, what I do, I've made it through four pandemics and maybe hanging by a thread at my advanced age. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I hope people enjoy it. If they don't, that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy doing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. It's sick and it's twisted, and that's what I enjoy doing.
And we love it, Bunny. Actually, the video is everywhere on many platforms. So shall we remind our listeners how they can watch? Where do you prefer they go to watch? Because they are, you know, it's in Instagram, YouTube. Where do you want them to?
Well, I mean, Instagram is probably where most people are now, and I'm official underscore lady underscore bunny.
Ooh.
And or you could watch it on YouTube, which I think is a better way to watch it, and that's just the Lady Bunny channel on YouTube.
Amazing. What we'll do is we're going to play that song for you now, but we encourage all of you to jump onto one of those social media platforms.
Yes.
And definitely watch this bunny. Just search for Lady Bunny and DAP and you will find it.
And before we leave you, we have three really fire questions from the fans. The first one is from George. Do you have a favorite Euro pop song? That's very specific.
Europop.
Yeah, that's very specific. Like Eurovision Song Contest. I don't know if you watch it, something like that. Yeah.
Well, is I Don't Know Anybody Else by Black Box considered Europop?
We'll find out. We'll find out.
I mean, it's pop that was made in Europe.
Yes.
But no, I don't follow the song contest. And I find that a lot of the offerings are very cheesy.
Mm. Yes, that's exactly Europop.
Yes. but I mean, I'm not a pop person. I like, you know, I mean, I will like, you know, some soulful pop, but I don't like the super fast, like trance dance that's popular in Europe, Germany, and that's too fast for me. I like stuff that's a little bit more groovy and soulful and vocal house, you know, disco house, R&B, you know, new disco, Jack in House. So I'm as a DJ, I don't really go for like the Britneys and the Kylies.
No. No, okay. We have too many of them. We have too many. Okay. But one last question that we have. So we have Natasha, and she wants to know, what was it like to grow up with the dinosaurs?
That's bad, Natasha.
Ooh, ask RuPaul.
Oh!
She's older.
Perfect answer.
Right.
But Lady Bunny, thank you so much. It has been absolutely fabulous to have you here on Glitterbeam Radio.
Everybody, it's Lady Bunny and Flotilla DeBarge. We were so inspired by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion's feminist anthem, Wet Ass Pussy, that we did our own version for postmenopausal women like us.
Whores in this house, there's some whores in this house, there's some whores in this house, there's some whores in this house.
I said we certified freaks. 7 days a week, our dry ass pussy make your pull-out game bleed.
Woo!
Yeah, you fucking with some dry ass pussy. You might hear a cough from this dry ass pussy. So put a cough drop in this dry ass pussy. Grease it up, baby, get some lard. I'm extra large and extra charged. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a Metro card. Put some locks, smear inside. I'm like a bagel, stale and dry. Spit in my cunt, avoid my eyes. This pool ain't wet, don't take a dive. Cause you may not come out alive. Let's role play, you're my gynecologist. You better park that Big Mac truck, cause my tank is out of gas. Get some cream, Vaseline, freshen it up with some Listerine. I don't douche, it ain't clean, and that might be why I got no ring.
Gobble me, swallow me, get some Vaseline. Put that neck bone deep inside of me. Tell him where to put it, no moisture inside of me. Run down heifer with a pussy down to a knee. Tastes like shit, chapped your lip. Gonna need some grease while I ride this dick. Dried up pussy will take anything. The sores in my pussy gonna make your dick sting.
He gonna go in thick to this dry ass pussy.
Take the skin off his dick with this dry ass pussy.
You need chapstick to eat this dry ass pussy.
Sandpaper your walls with this dry ass pussy.
Exfoliate your balls with this dry ass pussy.
Desert terrain in this dry ass pussy.
Could someone make it rain on this dry ass pussy?
You know I fart sand out this dry ass pussy.
Light a match on the lips of this dry ass pussy.
I can even scratch your back with this dry ass pussy.
There might be some rust in this dry ass pussy.
When I come, I squirt dust from this dry ass pussy.
Do you want to talk about my dry ass pussy?
Can't make no money, my pussy pathetic. Pussy like mine ain't got no credit. He got a beard, it'll come out shredded. It's like my snatch took a diuretic.
He want to spit, he want to burp. He want to gag, he want to choke. Like he got COVID in the back of his throat.
Yeast won't rise in this dry ass pussy.
I got wrinkles down my thighs from this dry ass pussy.
There's a cactus growing out of this dry ass pussy.
Broken prophylactics in this dry ass pussy.
Macaroni in the box, that's some dry ass pussy.
Catch asthma when you suck on this dry ass pussy.
Need a ventilator for this dry ass pussy.
Is there an alligator in this dry ass pussy?
You need lube to hydrate this dry ass pussy.
Take a shit to lubricate all this dry ass pussy.
Hair like shredded wheat on my dry ass pussy.
Dandruff on my feet from this dry ass pussy.